Now, when you start praising the Lord like that, it really, the Bible says in the book of John that he must increase and I must decrease. And I realize how weak I am. And you ought to realize the same thing. Your flesh profits you nothing, the Bible says. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. This is off the cuff, so bear with me. Brother Squiggy, will you pray for us? Amen.
Lord, pray that you use Ryan.
Yes.
God, please.
Use his lips of clay. God, set him aside and fill him with your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God, help us get something today that we haven't already gotten, God. I don't know what that might be. But we love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Book of Revelation, first two chapters, first three chapters, talks about these different seven churches. And there's one here in Revelation chapter 2 that I want you to look at. I'm sorry, chapter 3. I'm already starting off wrong. But chapter 3, verse. I won't go through all of them. Man, you could pick a lot of things out of these seven churches. And if you notice, actually, in chapter 2, there's a message to the church of Smyrna. That's where we are today. And there's only two churches out of these seven churches that are mentioned that God gave a... that his recommending, his approval of, and didn't have any kind of a rebuke to him. One of them, Smyrna.
Yeah.
And you know what? Something about this church, I was talking to Brother George yesterday. I haven't really been around as far as it goes with Christianity and all that. I'm still young. I've only been in church and in the Bible for 6 years. And I've only known this church and Bible Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. And I've been around a few different other places. But I'll tell you, this place, the folks here, they worship God and they love the Lord Jesus Christ, and you won't find a whole lot like what you just saw here anywhere else in the country. Just in the few places I've been to, I've never seen it like I've seen it right here. What you've experienced right now, today, you won't get it many other places. You go to any church around here, that's certainly the case. So thank God, you all thank God for the liberty we have in the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Chapter 3, it says, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis, right? These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works. You know what? The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. He knows our hearts better than we know our own hearts. He's got your name. He's got your number. He's got you down. He's got me down. He knows what I'm thinking about doing before I even think about doing it. And same thing for you. He says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. There's a sad thing. It's a sad thing in Christianity today. Now, that's a broad term anymore.
Yes,
folks think they're alive, but they're dead. Yep. Bible says in the book of Ephesians, awake, thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light.
Right.
There are a lot of saved folks today that are saved by the grace of God, but they're dead spiritually.
Yep.
They don't read the book. They don't pray. They don't see God manifest themselves like just today. Man, you can have a fit just like people are standing up shouting today. You can have that same fit riding down the road in your car.
Amen.
Man, you can turn on tunes riding down the road and say, thank God.
Amen.
God's good.
Amen.
Man, I couldn't tell you how many times I've cried out to God like that running down the road because he's real.
Amen.
He's real in my heart.
Amen.
He says, and now our dead, man, you ought to know what the love of God and how good he is.
Yes,
it says, be watchful. And strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. How many times have I bowed in prayer? I bowed my head right there and said, Lord, my works haven't been perfect before you. Many times. But thank God you can find forgiveness in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Even though you're saved here today, you have some fessing up to do before God.
That's right.
And you can do it.
Yeah.
He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavenly laden, and I will give you rest.
Yeah.
When you pour out your heart to God on this altar, man, you get up, it feels like 1,000 pounds were lifted off your shoulders. There ain't nothing better now. You can sit right there in your seat right now and have that burden lifted off of you if you just give it to God.
Amen.
If you're lost without Jesus Christ and you don't know where you're going when you die, you can know for sure.
Amen.
You can know 100%. But with the message, it says, be watchful. You know, that's a picture of prayer. It says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Now, Brother George is up here pleading with folks to pray for this youth rally.
Yeah.
You know what that's for? That's to strengthen us. As soon as the youth rally comes around, you get it's like getting a shot in the arm, man. You're ready to roll.
Yeah.
You get fired up. You're ready to go. You're ready to just foaming out the mouth, ready to win souls. At least you should be.
Yeah.
You're ready to go street preach, man. You'll preach at a tree.
Amen.
You don't care. If you're full of the Holy Spirit of God and you're reading this book, you'll do it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Strengthen the things which remain. That's the whole message. I don't have my notes on me. But it says strengthen the things which remain. And some things I would say that you, a Christian, ought to strengthen. It says right there in the first part of that verse, be watchful. We need to strengthen our prayer. And that's what he's been pleading with us for the last months, 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
Strengthen your prayer life.
Amen.
Every single one of us can come to a point and say, Lord, I haven't been faithful in prayer like I should have. We're all on the same ground here. There ain't one person up more than the other.
Amen.
We are all unequally. We are all together become unprofitable, says in the book of Romans. But thank God, when you have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to you, he sees the blood.
Amen.
He doesn't see you and your faults and all those things, but you ought to strive to be more and do more for Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to be a worthless, dried up, dull Christian life. It doesn't have to be that way. So be watchful. Strengthen your prayer life. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. What else? What else in your life? You think about it. What are some things that you've slacked on God? There are other times in these seven, within these seven churches, it says, for thou hast left thy first love. I forget which church it is, but he said, thou hast left thy first love. Man, what a terrible thing to be said of a Christian who lost their love for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you didn't catch anything that I've just said, there's a whole bunch of things you can preach about how you need to strengthen. You need to strengthen your witnessing because there's people dying and going to hell. You've already heard it here today. What more can I say than what you've already seen and heard here today?
Amen.
The Lord's already done the work.
Yeah.
But the book says, strengthen the things which remain. And that's the message to you. And here's the greatest thing that you can strengthen today, your love for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because like I said a minute ago, when he increases and you decrease, man, and you start looking up instead of looking around you and looking at yourself, man, it's like, wow, man, freedom. You talk about freedom. Jesus Christ said, if any man be in me, you'd be free indeed.
Amen.
Man, there's nothing better. I told a fella, I got the witness to a Russian man yesterday. And the Lord's given me a burden for Russian folks and Ukrainian folks. And it just so happens that we were at a park pushing my little baby on a swing. And this older Russian couple had their grandson out there with us. And we were pushing our kids right next to each other. And I got to witnessing to him. And he said, I believe all those things. I said, oh, amen. I said, are you saved? He said, no. He goes, because you know that in the Soviet Union, if you got caught going to any other church outside of the state church or... they're even atheists. If you got caught going to any other underground church, which there were some, then you wouldn't be able to go to school. You wouldn't be able to get a job. And you couldn't join the military. And the way communism goes and the way it went over there in those days, a young man either was going to live in poverty or he was going to join the military. And that's what he did. He joined the military just so he could live. So he could have a little bit of taste of freedom that we get to enjoy, no problem. Man, we got it so good here in America, you have no idea how good you have it. And he said, I couldn't do that. I said, you know what? Are you a citizen here now? He goes, yes, sir. I said, well, thank God for America, because you can be saved. Now pray for that man. His name's Alex and his wife's name's Jenna. And they were asking questions. And they live in New York. And they've heard the gospel before. You could tell because they understood what I was telling them. But they're not saved. And so you need to strengthen a lot of things, folks.
That's right.
You and I both. I feel it in me. This preaches to me more than anybody in here, I feel like. There's a whole lot of things that I've seen and done in my short Christian life that I've been up and down a few different things, and it doesn't have to be that way. You can be steadily going forward.
Right.
Paul said, I press toward the mark and for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus.
Right.
I'm keeping my eyes. When you're heavenly minded, you know, they say, oh, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. That's a bunch of baloney. When all you're set on is your affections on Jesus Christ and on heaven and seeing his face one day and pleasing your Lord Savior, Jesus Christ, all these other little things, where you're going to school, your job, how much money you make, where you live, what car you drive, all those things go right out the window. Now, I still think about those things all the time, man. I think I could get a better job making more money here. I could get out of this dumpy trailer I live in. I could get a better vehicle to drive. But you know what? All that means nothing, because you ain't going to take nothing with you when you die. Amen. What's going to happen is you're going to either serve Jesus Christ and heap up rewards in heaven, or you're going to serve yourself and stand before Jesus Christ, even as a saved person, and all your work's going to be tried in one place in the fire, and either your wood, hay, and stubble for yourself is going to get burned up in smoke, or you're going to have something to give back to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what it's all about for a Christian.
Amen.
And here's what it's about for a lost man. You worried about losing rewards and stuff like that on this earth? Naked in you came, and naked you're going to go out. You're not taking nothing with you. And what's even worse, you're going to die and go to hell without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He loved you enough to give his life on that cross.
Amen.
He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was laid on him. And by his stripes we are healed. He took a beating for you that no man could ever take. And he laid his life down willingly, it says.
Yeah.
He said, I lay my life down and I take it right back up again.
Amen.
There ain't nothing better than that.
Yeah.
That's my God. That's my Savior.
Amen.
He laid his own life down. He took it right back up. He died and went down and came up again so you can have eternal life with him.
Amen.
He said, any man that comes to me, I will no wise cast out. No matter if you're smart, you're dumb, no matter what race you are, it don't matter your social status, he'll take you.
Amen.
That's something to shout about right there. That's something to have joy about right there.
Amen.
If you're weak right now, strengthen that, man. Be glad about the gospel. The Bible talks about the power of the gospel.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
Man, you want something strong. Men are impressed by strength.
Yeah.
Men are impressed by all that stuff, speed, strength, power. There is nothing better than what you can get
Amen.
In Jesus Christ and in this book.
Truth,
Amen.
Hit on a couple points I was going to preach on this morning already.
Amen.
That's good. I know the Lord's in this. Brother Gary Manarese is going to preach for my son next week. They're preaching. He's having a revival. Brother Jack Patterson's going to be there. And Gary called me about a couple guys preaching for him. I got Michael Morseberger preaching Sunday morning. And then I'm going to have David preach Sunday night down there. But, guys, man, be ready to preach, man. Be ready. You got to live clean and man, try to keep things right in your own mind and heart so you can help somebody else. Those girls got up here and sang.
Yeah.
They helped you.
Yeah.
Amen. They ministered, brother.
Yeah.
That's what it's about, trying to encourage one another, trying to, man, help each other up rather than putting each other down. And, man, sit around and find fault with everybody
sure.
and put you down. But I tell you, we're trying to lift you up.
Amen.
And, man, thank God those girls, the Lord used them. Amen. And Brother Ryan, the message. Brother Joe, come on and give us something. Brother Joe, come on. You got something? Or Brother Ken, either one. One. Either one. Ken, come on.
Lord, I just love you, Lord. I just thank you for all you've done, Lord. I just thank you for being so good to me, Lord. I just thank you for everything, amen. I have no idea what I'm going to do, amen. Turn to Romans. So turn to Romans 3. I'm just going to jump in a couple quick places and run my mouth. Amen. So in the book of Romans 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Let's just go over to 3:23 real quick. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm just going to park there for a minute. I get to work. It's a blessing here at church because I get to work with a lot of kids. Amen. Romans Road, the book of John, you know, John's Road, all the different roads, different ways to witness to people. It's a blessing that kids understand it and kids aren't afraid to talk to their friends about it. It's simple. Adults make it hard. You know, I bunk with these guys. I work with these guys. This is my family. Adults are afraid to open their mouth sometimes. And I don't know why. Because we're adults. We're in America, amen. As we just heard, we've got so many freedoms here that other countries don't have. Talk to Brother Ryan or some of these other guys and girls that have been across the world. I can get up here and say the stupidest thing in the world and still go home. Other countries, I can get my head chopped off. I can get put in prison. We have freedoms here. But as Christians, we don't use them, amen. If you're not sure how to talk to someone about their soul, you can always start in Romans 3. Because everyone knows deep down they're a sinner. I don't care if they've done jail time or they haven't. I don't care if they're rich or they're poor. They know their heart. They know their wicked thoughts. Now, they can lie to themselves enough. But when it comes down to it, you get alone with them, you spend a minute and just let them talk all the stupid stuff, but then you keep talking to them, you press the point. People know their condition. They know they're a sinner. So kids, it's great because kids, you can talk to kids and kids will go home and they don't know their Bible. They haven't been to Bible school. They haven't sat under preacher, but they're 6, 7, 8, 9 years old and they're going to school and witnessing to their friends. They're witnessing to their family. They're writing letters to friends or family. They're doing whatever they can. They're going into stores, handing out tracts. I've got kids in my class that can't even read, and they'll hand out a tract. I've been with people, I know George has and Joe and Ryan, they've been with people that aren't even saved but like the gospel, and they'll hand out tracts because they know it's good. There's a change in people. So I'm going to challenge you guys right now to learn a couple basic verses. Learn where they are in your Bible. You don't have to memorize them. It'd be great if you did. But you can start off with Romans 3:10 and then Romans 3:23. So Romans 3:10, right here it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Righteous is a big word. I know it's a big word. We don't like big words as adults, but kids are open-minded. So they'll look at it, and I'll say, what does it mean? And they'll say, right. Good enough. You're right, amen. Amen. God says there's nobody right. We're all wrong. Yeah. Kids get that. What do you mean I'm wrong? I've never killed anybody. All right, I'll say Jonah, and I'll pick on Jonah. I don't see him right now, but I know he's here somewhere. He's in the back hiding from me. I'll say, Jonah, have you ever been bad and not listened to mom or mom? He'll say, yeah. What's that? He said, that's not right. That's wrong. Amen. A kid can get it. Have you ever gone to work and not worked? Now, I know we're Laodicean Christians and we're lazy, but that's theft. Yep. Amen? Yep. If I don't own a company. If I did, nobody would work for me. But if I own a company and you're my employee and I'm paying you to work and you're punching that time clock, there's only so many safety meetings a day I'm going to allow before you got to work. So if you're going to a job and you're punching in a clock and you're not doing your job, you're stealing. Yep. But I've never killed anybody. But you're stealing. You're a thief. Yep. All right? God is one of the thieves in heaven. Amen? Mm-hmm. You're a thief. So, well, you know, I've never done this, I've never done that. You know, you tell your wife or your kids you're going to do something. And you get busy. It happens to me all the time. You're a liar if you don't do it. Yep. I lie a lot. I don't mean to. I don't mean to lie when I say it. Tiffany, I will be home for dinner. I will be there at 7 o'clock. 9:30, I pull in. I didn't mean to lie to her, but I did, amen. Yep. Now, there are times I lie on purpose. I have to go get it right. But it's simple right now. I'm being honest. My wife's got a good left hook, guys. There's times you lie on purpose, then you apologize a few minutes later and say, I lied, I'm sorry. But, so, I'm throwing some humor in there because it makes, the preachers always throw humor in because it makes them feel good because they want to be liked. So I'm not going to be liked when I'm telling you you're doing wrong, so I'll make fun of myself or tell a stupid joke and it makes me feel good for a few seconds. So, amen. I just broke the preacher's code and told the truth of why they tell jokes, amen. But it's not really to set the crowd up or nothing. It's for us. It makes us feel good, amen. So it's simple if you think about it, and we've all heard this before. I don't know if we've told anybody, but it's simple. We can look at this, and we can talk to ourselves and say, you know what? I'm not perfect. I've sinned. Now, is God going to throw me in hell for not being perfect? Well, if you know your Bible, he'll throw you in hell if you eat fruit when he tells you not to. If you break the rules, law's law. All right, James tells us, let's go to James real quick. Keep your place in Romans. We're going to come back in Romans. I'm only going to spend a few more minutes. But I've been in this church for a few years now, and it amazes me that people, I know you can get nervous because we're all nervous when it comes to God and something serious, but people don't understand how to talk to someone about getting saved. Tell them what happened to you. Tell them what you did. That's all you need to know. All this stuff is just extra icing just to give you some strength and encouragement and give you some confidence. Because if you can memorize one verse, you know more than most people out there. And that's going to give you confidence. People are going to see that confidence, and it's going to show. So James 2, verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. That's all I'm going to read, that part right there. So you can keep the whole law, never murder anybody, never do this, never do that. But God says, if you break one little piece of it, you're guilty. He doesn't want sin in heaven, amen. So if you've lied, if you've stolen, we can go deeper about loving God and worshiping idols and your sports or your money or your movies or your books or whatever it is. We all have a different, you know, thing that keeps us from God. But it's simple if we're looking at it. We can start off and say there's none righteous, there's no not one. For all have sinned, amen. So I'm going to speed this up here. Let's go to Romans 6:23. I'm actually being a little gentler with you guys than I would my 6 and 7-year-olds because they're a little tougher. Amen. More facial hair too, Eric. Amen. So, Romans 6:23. I go over this with the kids, and they understand it. The first part's kind of tough. For the wages of sin is death. I stop there. What's a wage? When you go to that job and you're cheating on the time clock, you actually get paid for nothing. That's your wage. You're getting paid. So a wage is you're getting something for doing something or not doing something, depending on how hard you work, amen. So a wage is you're getting something. So the Bible here tells us in 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Everyone just admitted in your heart that you're a sinner. So because of that sin, there's a death. We're going to die. There's a place where we're going to go when we die. It's either heaven or hell. Don't do the whole evolution thing because I'm going to make you look like a fool if you do. But look, nothing cannot create an explosion that magically makes everything. Okay? Talk to any guy in here or some girls have ever blown something up. Explosions destroy things. They're real beautiful and cool, and that's like the only time I'll use that word beautiful when something blows up because it's just awesome. But an explosion doesn't make something. So get all that stupid crap out of your head that you've heard on a TV show or the History Channel on the internet. 20 years ago, before we had the History Channel on the internet, people admitted they were stupid. We all are. But now we watch two things on TV and read something on the internet. We're all the most smartest people in the world, amen. We're too smart for God. Evolution's a lie, amen. Right out of the pit of hell. Amen. Okay, you're going to go somewhere when you die, so we're not going to waste any more time on that. So the wages of sin, your payment for sin is death. Now here we're applying this, you're going to go to hell when you die in your sins. Now we can talk about your family and those people in here that are saved, how you're living like hell, and you're killing your family and destroying your family. You're not faithful to church. You show up for work an hour or two a week. You're supposed to be there 40. You're not showing up for Sunday school. You're not showing up for Sunday night for prayer service. You're not faithful, guys. You got to get serious. So there's a payment, it says here. The wages of sin is death. But, that's a good but, amen. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you're a sinner and you're going to die. George Washington, I said this all the time when I'm on the street. George Washington, I think he was 69 years old when he died. He's been dead over 210 years. Most of you know more about your 401k or your baseball team than you do about eternity. So you're going to be dead a lot longer than you were alive. That's all I want to prepare for. I want to prepare for what's going to happen the most. It'll be the longest. That's eternity. So with kids, I draw on the board. I draw a dot, and then I draw a line from one end to the other. And I tell them that line is eternal. And they get it right away. Oh, it goes on and on forever. Forever's a long time. Why would a loving God make hell? Well, first of all, he made it for the devil and his angels. It's simple. He knows we don't like fire. I've been with Joe, some tough guy. Joe takes the guy's lighter. The guy can't hold his hand there more than a few seconds. No one likes fire. We might like to watch it at the camp or see something go, but when it comes to that heat burning our flesh and searing it, we don't like it. God made it simple. I'm going to make a place called hell so a child could get saved. He shows us in his word, it's simple. Your heart's filthy and wicked. I don't care how good you are and how pretty you dress. You know your heart. If I cut you off in traffic, if I make fun of your kid, if I hurt someone you love, your heart is filthy. All right, it's sin. So God makes this place hell because he thinks it's simple. Anyone with a brain isn't going to want to go there, amen? What do you got to do to stay away from hell? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this is my last verse. This is my favorite verse. It's It's the first verse I ever street preached. Romans 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That isn't, oh Lord, this job. That doesn't get you saved. In the context, that is admitting you're a sinner, believing Jesus Christ would die for someone like you, and calling on him, asking him to save you. So my name is Ken. They call me Brother Ken. And I'm saying that now, and it's just a sad thing to say, but you're going to stand before judgment one day. And if you're not saved, you can't say, Lord, I didn't know. Because the Lord's going to say, Brother Ken, talk to you. And he told you, admit you're a sinner, believe Jesus Christ died for you, and call on him and ask him to save you from your sins. Becoming a Christian doesn't make you perfect. Just makes you forgiven, amen. Lord, I just love you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord. I apologize for my stupid humor, Lord, but I ask you to prick some hearts and some heads of some people here, Lord. For those that are saved, give them strength and courage just to open their mouth or take a track or just do something for you, Lord. For anyone here that's not saved, Lord, that's trusting their baptism by getting wet or their parents or their priest or whatever filthiness or silliness they're trusting, Lord, if it's not you, I ask you to please convict their hearts, Lord, and just ask them to seek out your word, Lord, and your truth so they can have an eternal place in heaven, Lord. I just thank you again for all you've done. I ask you to save that soul nearest to hell. And I just thank you again, Lord, for being so good to me. Amen.
How many of y'all been to funerals? Been to funerals that never, the preacher that preached never said anything about hell. Never mentioned it. There you go. Man, that's a shame. When I preach a funeral, I always tell people, don't die and go to hell. You don't need to go to hell. And if you're here today, you're not saved, don't go to hell. You can get saved, I mean, that quick and have eternal security and know that you're going to heaven. There's 7 billion people on the planet, 7.5 billion people, and 10% of those may be saved, maybe. And 10% of those only know that they're going to go to heaven when they die. That's a shame. And I tell you what, we need to be telling other folks about it. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. Live your life so you be confident when you're talking to people about Jesus Christ. God's forgiven the past. Get the thing right. He'll forgive you your past. And get it right. If you're saved, get it right. I was talking to somebody yesterday about their past. I said, all that's in the past. You get it right. You repent over it, say, I'm sorry, Lord. Because none of us are worthy to serve God.
Amen.
None of us. Nobody in this room is worthy to serve God. You get that thing in the past and say, Lord, help me to go forward. And have confidence in telling other people about Jesus Christ. And pray that God would give you a soul before the year's out. Give you, that's very easy. Lord, I say easy. It's tough in this day and time. But pray God give you one soul. If everybody in this room brought one soul, they brought to the Lord, double the size. And then if everybody did the same thing again, double the size. We want to see our town, our areas, people know Jesus Christ. And he was talking about Sardis, and he said about Ephesus is the church that he said you lost your first love. Amen. Don't lose your first love for Jesus Christ. Amen. Sing to him. Praise him. Amen. I mean, by yourself. Nobody's around. By yourself. Read your Bible. Read it and spend time in it and sing praises to God. And I'm telling you what, he'll show up and you'll feel his presence. Amen. You're all by yourself. You'll feel his presence. Amen. Y'all get a blessing out of that this morning? All right, come back tonight. Be faithful.